evening, Patriots. Right off the top, we have our public service announcements. It's kind of like an emergency broadcast system with a smile. So here it goes. Right off the top, we've got to get every Patriot living, breathing, that loves Christ, is seeking Christ, that wants this country saved. We've got to get you to St. Charles, Missouri. On the 26th to the 29th. 26th to the 29th of August. And what is that? It's a special thing called Bard's Fest. It's God's event. It's the event of the greatest revival and what we will believe will be the greatest revival in human history. So get your tickets. Go to bardsfest.com. You'll find an indoor and an outdoor event. There's a list of what goes on each day. The distinction is this. Indoor event, you're going to sit and enjoy amazing speakers and have amazing performances all day. The outdoor event is very much like a carnival festivity. So it's designed to have two experiences, all celebrating God. The outdoor event is really suited for family members and extended family. The indoor event is very suited for enjoying amazing concert-type environment. Two simultaneously incredible events. Lots of amazing people coming to speak. So, head on over, get your tickets, get on out to Missouri. And besides the fact that Missouri's great Patriots just crushed the mask mandate today that was they tried to start up in St. Louis, and the Attorney General, who also knows about Bard's Fest, was suing St. Louis County for trying to put in a mask mandate. So, let's get it fired up. We need every Patriot out here spreading the word everywhere. We got to get people to Missouri. It's the center point of this fight and the center point of God's war. And we're going to be there, line it up as the remnant, as God's soldiers, right in line, kicking it. St. Louis or St. Charles, Missouri, 26th to the 29th of August. Go to bardsfest.com. And then on the 27th on that week, Mike Lindell is speaking on the 27th of August, both in the indoor and the outdoor. And so we're calling that Slipper Revolution Day. So you're going to need a pair of my slippers. And so you need to get over to my slippers. To get my slippers, you have to go to my pillow. And you're going to go to mypillow.com. And you're going to use the Bard's promo code. And it's going to just shred your shopping cart. You're going to be like, whoa, I can't believe how much money I saved. And you're going to want to buy a whole bunch more stuff. So be careful, but buy away. We want to support that great company. Mike Lindell is giving so much to Patriot events. They have given over $70,000 to Bard's Fest. It's incredible, and they're still giving more money. So keep supporting them. They're supporting us. It's a beautiful arrangement, and we're just fighting. So keep it out there. Keep pushing it. Spread the Bard's code as much as you can. We'd love to see a million Patriots worldwide in my slippers on that day just to thank Mike for all he's done and to make a point to every other dirtbag company that when you step on us, we'll step on you. So mypillow.com. Bards is your promo code, B-A-R-D-S. And then again, don't forget to get your tickets for Bard's Fest, bardsfest.com, for the 26th to the 29th of August. Okay. I'm going to kind of lay out something tonight that I feel, I'm going to go back to some analysis that I did when this mask thing first started. And I worked with a buddy of mine who had trained at Fort Detrick. And we theorized something then that the more I look at this, I think this is where we are. When this COVID nonsense broke out, kind of what we theorized was this, that we didn't know the term gain of function, and we didn't know specifically about spike proteins, but we figured that there was something they had done to a basic virus. And what we had determined early on that it followed a model that was theorized at Fort Detrick back in the 90s. And that is that some form of a virus was engineered to create a high transmissibility but low lethality. We also theorized that there was probably something else with this virus, that it probably carried an adaptable sense to it. It might even have been AI engineered. It might have even had some nanotech particles in it. All those things are still unknown. But what we figured is this virus was probably fairly adaptable and very persistent. And then when we added all the other things that we know now, that was easy to create the fear, panic around this, to create the idea of a pandemic. So as I continue to research this, this is pretty much what I've determined. I think that this is my position, and there's a lot of research to support this, which I always have people like, I see comments the other day on iTunes. They're like, oh, this guy's nothing because he gives opinions and he doesn't give his research threads. No, I'm not going to give you a litany of a year and a half of research. If you want that, go back and listen to my other podcast. So I'm going to give you a summary tonight. Take it, leave it. If it bothers you, then I'm sorry. Not really, but I'll say I'm sorry just to make you feel better. So the summary is this. I think that in a show that Monkey and I did in January of 2020, we mapped out an event that happened down in Burbank, down in Hollywood, where a helicopter, a special operations helicopter, landed in the middle of the street at night. Most people remember that. And there were a team of guys that literally left a building, and you didn't see them until they get to the helicopter, and they're wearing pretty much hazmat suits, but all of a sudden they appear. And what became pretty clear is that they were wearing some sort of digital camouflage, which I know exists. They've been using it and testing it at high levels in DARPA or other high-tech areas. And this digital camouflage is more like a stealth cloak is what it is. And it adapts to the environment, so you really can't see. You literally can have somebody walk right in front of you, and it's mirroring the environment behind it, so it's projecting out an image. And that indicated something really big was going on. And this team of guys was carrying something obviously very secure. So what we concluded then is that there had been, with a lot of research that we did, that they had grabbed something that was of a high biological or nuclear radiological threat, and that they had taken that out of there. It could have been a number of things. It could have been a bio threat, which is what we think it is. It could have also been like a plutonium threat for some fashion, and that was going to be what they were going to drop on the American public and destroy a lot of the country and derail President Trump. With that, at the same time, shortly there in and around that time, they confiscated something like 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of fentanyl, which was at the port of the port down there. And that was enough to kill pretty much all of North America about three times over. So you can kind of see the idea that they were playing with, is they were going to have some sort of catastrophic event and wipe out a large percentage of the country, blame President Trump for, you know, lack of security, go throw the country into FEMA control, take it over, whatever, invasion, who knows what else was going to follow. But that was thwarted. So it's interesting to note that as President Trump continued forward with his work on China, as it kind of hit the peak point in the Chinese and that some of the Chinese trade legislation was coming on the table, once he signed that, which was January 2020, it was a few days later that they initiated, or maybe it was the year before, 2019, sorry. However that is, but a few days after he signed Chinese trade stuff, they initiated the impeachment proceedings. So there's a direct correlation between China and trying to get Trump out of office. We know that. And it's not just China. It's the CCP. It's the Vatican. It's the Bank of London. The UK's got its fingers deep in that. And it's every treasonous turd that lives in D.C., which is about 99% of them. And most every one of our governors, state representatives, they're all corrupted. They're all owned by somebody. So we end up in this place now where they are frenzied in hate, because what Trump is doing, what President Trump was doing, is he was revealing them. And we have to give some credit here to the Q program, because it's also revealing things and people are awakening. And through that Q program, I myself have said it's a PSYOP. It's just because it's a PSYOP doesn't mean that it's a bad PSYOP. PSYOP is run on both ends. And Q, no matter what you want to say about Q, Q forced people to wake up. They forced people to start looking at things differently, and it challenged them to look differently. And I also believe that Q was taken over. There's an interesting transition that happens when Dumford leaves and Milley comes in. Q goes silent, if you remember, and Hugh went silent for that month of August of 2019 and then reappears later. Well, the thing is that that gap happens to match the exact gap of what they call a right seat, left seat ride, which is means when two commanders come together, one shadows the other, and then they shadow each other. One shadows the one in command, and then later the one in command, the new one in command steps up and the previous one shadows him to make sure everything's good, all the handoffs are done, and then they break contact and the new commander takes over. That exact period of time is exactly the period of time the Q went dark, and it exactly overlays with when Dumford and Millie change places. Important point. So Q changes then, and it changes in a weird way. Like, we get the watch of Giuliani and a bunch of other stuff. And it doesn't really add up, because what comes forward with Q almost seems like a different Q. And it was accused of that, and I actually believe it was. I think the psyop of the good guys was ended, and it was probably taken over by the bad guys. Maybe, but I'll go with that. And then we see a lot of, you know, stupid stuff on Q, like, you know, all this testimonials of like taking the oath and Pledge of Allegiance and flags out. And it's just stuff that makes, it's no more depth of Q. It's just like, whatever. I mean, I could post that stuff. So there's really kind of some nonsense that comes out with Q. But the early Q is what's interesting. But Q has said many, many times, we can't stop what's coming. Nothing can stop what's coming. And we all assumed that this was like the Great Awakening, and we were all going to stand up and cheer and rally, and we're going to take the country back. And all of a sudden, we're going to be like, woohoo, patriots are in charge. We did it. We won. And no one had any idea how big this cabal was. We all had no clue. And I include myself in this. We had no clue. And what we also had no clue of is how deeply controlled governments were by the pharmaceutical companies, how deeply controlled medical was by the pharmaceutical companies, and how they literally controlled the entire game. And then as you start to dig into that, you realize that, oh, wait a minute, where did that whole medical thing come from? It came from the Jesuits. Oh, that's the Catholics again. Sorry, Catholics, don't mean to step on your toes, but I'm going to walk all over them tonight because it's your damn institution of cult that's led this thing. And that cult of the Catholic Church has its Jesuit order that is now running this entire medical tyranny on the world right now. So this is what I think actually has transpired before our very eyes and where we are. And this all leads to a very important consideration of what our way out is. And it's not, it's right before us. So what ends up happening is that they are in a frenzy to get rid of President Trump. Anger, fierce. And this operation I told you about, which was this thing that was stopped down in Hollywood, Newport Beach area, derails one of their big plans, and so they go into the next level of operation, which I think what they did, literally working with their CCP agents and the Bill Gates consortium and all this nonsense with Fauci and all this, they go into full overdrive to get rid of Trump at any cost and just do a scorched earth. And so they release this thing that Fauci's been working on over in the Wuhan labs, and our deep state elements within the Pentagon have been funding with our taxpayer dollars. Nice little trick there. And by the way, when you read that they donated money or gave money to nonprofit, anytime you read that coming out of the government, stop. The government gives no money away. It contracts everything. Okay? Be clear about that. Or it uses it to, or people steal it, but if it's official, they contract it. There's no money given. It's not like a tithing, or it's not like a nice, generous donation. You contract with them, and it takes weeks and months to get those contracts in place. So anytime you read that, understand that any money that comes from the government is completely accountable, trackable, and it's been a rigorous process of many people involved in signing off on that paperwork, which now gives you an idea of chain of custody and the number of people that are involved in this treason, because it's huge. So giving money to this nonprofit then takes it over to Wuhan Labs and funds the gain of research with Fauci leading it, who had worked at Fort Detrick, which is where we started this conversation. He takes the idea over there. They build this virus. And we don't really know what this virus is, but it appears that it probably has some traits to it that are more than they were willing to share with the public, because it probably is a little bit crazy. And it would start to indicate where President Trump's briefings were coming in, because this virus does seem to be fairly adaptable, whatever it is. And I've openly said I think it's nonsense, but I think there's more to it, especially as we know now that there is a gain of function research that went with it, elevated the spike protein. They understood the importance of that, and they may have even installed some AI technology or some nanotechnology within it. All along, this is an integrated system that we're experiencing right now that was designed from the beginning and likely takes us back to the 70s or 80s when a lot of this research began, because this research was rampant within the labs in the 80s and 90s. That's a known, if you've been in around DOD, you know they've been working on this for some time. So I think in their frenzy, they released this virus, and in their arrogance, they launch it against, they test it in Wuhan, which, by the way, one of these little footnotes in Wuhan that people never talk about, and as far as I know, and it's just not in me in any way trying to boast here, but I think I'm the only one that's brought it up, and it's extremely critical to understand why Wuhan. It's not just the lab in Wuhan. It's not that Wuhan's the tech center of all of China, what they'll tell you this. When Mao Zedong came to power, there was a split in the country. Mao Zedong took control of the north with its headquarters in Beijing. The nationalists under Chiang Kai-shek took control of the south. And when they were finally driven from China, they were pushed into Taiwan. But their capital at the time was Wuhan. A very important detail that most everybody misses. Which now means that the Taiwanese likely continue to have a very influential presence in Wuhan. And so when we look at the eradication of the people in Wuhan, and there were many, we can tell that by the use of the cell phones that had all suddenly non-stopped working, which was in the millions, they wiped them out. But what really happened? And it's not just 5G. People keep saying it's 5G. It's not just 5G. Okay, this is an integrated system, and I can assure you of this, of all the research I've done over time. This is a layered system. My likelihood is that they used this test base with the injection to then try out 5G with the injection and the virus in place. Or they just released the virus and they used 5G. But either way, it's a combined effort. And so some of what we witnessed in Wuhan was probably real, which is people's blood literally being boiled within their body within the 5G wave. So this then sets the condition of this release of this agent, this what we call COVID or Corona or whatever you want to call it. And of course, these are all Luciferians, and all these things mean something to them. They all have names that mean something. Corona's crown, all this other nonsense. And I don't minimize it, but I am going to minimize it because it's their cult worship of their worship to Lucifer. And this is the whole thing to keep in mind, that these are Luciferians at play of an order that we probably can't even wrap our head around, but they are Luciferians in order. And they are true Luciferians at the core. And they, just like with when Christ was sacrificed, Lucifer probably celebrated it going, woohoo, I won, only to discover that he had lost the entire war, because through the sacrifice of Christ, God gave access to anybody that would accept Christ to be released from Lucifer's grasp. It's a pretty amazing concept. And I think we're there again. Truly, I think this is, we're having this kind of repeat of event. And this is my interpretation of things, so just, we're going with it tonight. I think they really thought they could wipe out a good portion of the U.S. population. But I think something else happened, and this is where I'm starting to assess this. This is where I'm thinking there's some understanding more of where President Trump was, and also why we're seeing so much panic with these people right now. And we are seeing an inordinate level of panic. So they released this thing, and I think they lost control of it. And I think that this COVID thing is a little more adaptive than anybody is admitting. It probably has some smart technology in it. It probably is adapting to environments out here. But it's not lethal. if you keep healthy. That's the key. But it is lethal and becomes exceedingly lethal if you take the injection. And this is the bridge. So 5G is an important trigger to this. It is not the sole piece. That's the key. And that I can tell you, for the research I've done with people in labs, they're going to tell you the same thing. It's a combined effort. And you can't, this is why this is so vicious as an attack on humanity, because one, you've got a fear component that people are, oh my goodness, and there is a real, some sort of a real virus, which again, high transmissibility, low lethality, but enough to give you like a really exaggerated experience of a flu, which then drives you to want to seek a remedy. Give me a shot, please, because that's how we are. We don't turn to God first. We always turn to the medical community. Fan the flames of fear with that one. And the injection becomes the goal. So the injection's ready to roll in. But it's once they what's happened here is I think they've lost control of this thing. So now they're like, we're gonna try to do it in the United States. And of course it spreads all over the globe and it hits a lot of the Western environment, but it's also spreading towards other places they don't want. And there's probably some unintended consequences that they're afraid of. So they spin this whole thing up and they've got the injections ready to roll, but there's a push, and then President Trump pulls the brilliant chess move. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to accelerate this. But I do believe that he sincerely was briefed on the potential damages or lethality of this COVID. Whether it's accurate or not in the intel he got, I believe he was given that. So in a compassionate way, there's both a compassion and a real issue of not being able to fight pharmaceutical, but he does want to save the people. He pushes for the injection to get it. And he also realizes very clearly that people are not in any way going to accept anything other than the injection. There's a whole bunch of people, and he has to win the election. And if he doesn't deliver something, he has no chance of ever revealing who they are. But where we are right now with all of that pathway, now we're at a point where the damage is about ready to really be raked on the world. And we are looking in the fall of where this thing is going to start raking its massive damage. And it's going to be done a lot by the damage is going to come to those who took the injection. The problem is the plan originally was that 70 to 75% of the public would take it. So the consequences of that damage would be blended and they would just blame it on another version. And so many people would be wiped out and it would be so devastating and there'd be so many people sick that it's like, oh good, we can get them into a round of injections. And once they get you into this injection series, it's going to be a repetitious series of injection. There is literally no stopping it. Listen to this right here. This just came in a little bit ago. Total antibody levels start declining 6 weeks after complete vaccination from Pfizer and AstraZeneca's vaccines and can reduce significantly by more than 50% over 10 weeks. Think about that. Your antibody levels will reduce by over 50% in 10 weeks following the shot. And that's a study that was just published by the Lancet Journal. And they end it with boosters every 3 to 6 months on the horizon, ? And the answer is yes, absolutely. That is the intent. Because this is both the transhuman model and the dystopian model that locks people into a perpetual cycle of control. Now, on one side, that's their evil diabolical plan. And they're racing forward with it, except there's been a little chink in this plan, a big one, actually. And that's if they didn't hit 70%. And I think in real terms, they're probably at about 35% rough. And the problem is that the majority of those 35% are their own followers, their own drones. Okay? And so they're facing an extermination of their own kind with the injection that they distributed to the people. Now, I'm going to read a quote here, another quote, and it's interesting. This came up today, and I watched this carefully, and a lot of people are skeptical of it, and I still remain skeptical, but I still track it. I've told you it's a good one to track, and that is Real Raw News. And so they had an interesting post today, and it happened to do with Tom Hanks. Now, the reason this is important to me is because when I was down with Brian Kahenic last week, he and I had a long discussion about Tom Hanks and his new film. And Brian brought up a point. He said, for those that think that Tom Hanks is around, I just have a question for people to ponder. And remember, Brian was the senior audio engineer for Hollywood, for Disney. And he's been around some of the latest film technologies. And he's also well in understanding. He has a really good understanding of the technologies in film. And if you've seen Wag the Dog, multiply that by 20, 30 years. So this is back to what I've been saying all along. Don't pay attention to who's talking. Pay attention to who's not talking. But one of the telltale things is Tom Hanks' new film is coming out, and yet there's no Tom Hanks promoting it. And it's an important point because Hollywood doesn't release a multi-million dollar, sometimes $100 million film without putting the lead actor on a massive media tour, which they're more than capable of doing on Zoom, even though they'll tell you it's social distancing and it's not a COVID-safe environment or whatever the hell they're doing. But Tom Hanks has been silent. No, not a word from Tom Hanks. And so Brian brought that up. He said, look, where is he? Why isn't he on the media tour? And then Brian brought this point up. He said, if people understood the technology at Disney, they would understand that they could make an entire film with somebody like Tom Hanks and rotoscope him in and have all the audio files available to create them, and you would never know he wasn't there. That's a very important point. That gets back to the point we're watching a movie. Okay, so listen to this quote because it's relevant. And it's going to take us back to the injection, and it's going to take us back to a perspective, a biblical perspective on this whole thing. And it says that three officer panel found the content that they saw of Hanks with, which they showed content of Hanks doing things like adrenochrome and raping little boys, so disturbing that it reached a verdict of guilty after watching four snippets. Hanks, when asked if he had anything to say in his defense, showed no remorse for his crimes and told the tribunal that adult-child intercourse was natural and that he proudly supported NAMBLA. If you're not familiar with that Luciferian organization, North American Man-Boy Love Association, it actually exists. A pedophile and pederasty advocacy organization in the United States. The tribunal declared Hanks received capital punishment and asked for his sentence be carried out expeditiously. Hanks said, "My death won't stop anything. We are everywhere." Okay. Now listen to this headline tonight. I love this. I love when God works. Gateway Pundit. San Francisco bars require customers show proof of vaccination or negative COVID test to drink indoors. That's like parlors of sin right there. It's kind of interesting. The San Francisco Bar Owner Association, representing hundreds of establishments, will require proof of vaccination or 72-hour negative test for any patrons indoors. Bar Owner Alliance states on Monday, July 26, 2021, the San Francisco Bar Owner Alliance is extremely concerned by a recent uptick in cases of COVID-19 among our staff members, especially those who are fully vaccinated. They're just telling you the truth right before you. We believe we are obliged to protect our workers and their families and to offer a safe space for customers to relax and socialize. We have polled our membership and arrived at the following decision. Effective Thursday, July 29th, 2021, it will be the official position of the SF Bar Owners, San Francisco Bar Owners Alliance, that any customer who wishes to remain inside our establishment show proof of vaccination or a 72-hour negative COVID-19 test. Guests without these verifications are welcome to sit outside in parklets or other spaces we offer. It will be up to each individual bar to decide how best to enforce this for their customers. This decision is based solely on our need to protect our worker customers and their families. However, we hope it might also influence some who have not yet received vaccinations to do so as soon as they are able. We understand that the only way our society and our businesses can ever return to true normalcy is through a higher rates of vaccination among our residents, not just in San Francisco, but across the United States of America. Now, I just want to point out, if I was going to choose a city to start vaccine IDs and encourage people to vaccinate, I just find it ironic that Sodom, the city of Sodom, was the number one on the list. Just saying. So when we start to overlay this, and we start to look at how this is rolling out. And we know from another stat that's come out, this fairly accurate survey, that 95% of the Democrats of the left took the double vax or the J&J shot, one of the two, but they've all taken it. And so now we have this thing that we know that everything that's been taught, been done by the research by the 5D team, that's Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Steve Meehan, I mean, and others like Dr. Eric Napudi. Everything that's been done is saying the same thing. There is no undoing this shot once it gets in you. And worse, as you get the additional shots, it takes more and more control over your entire immune system. Hence the reason that people are getting shots are getting COVID. Because it is an adaptive, if this is what we think it is, which is more than just a flu, because it's an elevated spike protein within that, and it's also got some sort of adaptive nature to it, which is probable. It's not only going after those with the injection, it's doubling down. But the problem is, the majority of the people it's going after are the people that are following the left agenda. Oh, but wait a minute, that leaves out a big class of people, and it's God's children. Those who follow Christ, truly Christ in their heart. Isn't that crazy? So if I was to look at this from a lens of a biblical event, the one word that just keeps coming to mind is Passover. Passover. Here's the thing, Patriots, and it goes back to our place in this fight and our place in this world. We can't celebrate the destruction of people. That is not our role. I mean, I can laugh at it because I just find it ironic. Like I said, Sodom. There's one shining example of Sodom. It's San Francisco. And God's given more than a chance for people to repent and come back to him. And this is one of these places where this is kind of like tough love, because I truly believe in these, that Amos 8:11, which I read last night, has so much relevancy here. I'm going to read it again. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So I think what we are witnessing here is truly a separation of the wheat and the chaff. But it isn't for us to coo on and to dance around on and to raise our hands in celebration and go, oh yeah, we got him, because that is exactly opposite of what God would want. The key is that there is no curing this by normal methods. In fact, I would argue that if they try to cure it, which I think is what part of the motivation of this injection was just to regain control of this thing in addition to gaining control of us, I think this thing is spinning out of control faster than they have any idea. And I think there's that other level of panic, which is they really don't know what to do, because this is like something they created. And you're like, oh, sheet. What are we going to do? It's out. And they're running around like chickens with their head cut off and trying to generate this. And then you've also got these diabolical people sitting in the lab going, we can get God's children on this. But here's the irony of the whole thing. As Lucifer may be dancing around his bush, celebrating the victory over God's children, he's now facing something very brutal as a reality. His followers are now the target of the greatest catastrophe of humankind that ultimately was created by Lucifer's hand. So our role, in my opinion, becomes even more profound in this presence of time. Our role truly becomes Christ-like in our walk. It isn't for us to celebrate the destruction of people, because these are God's children that Lucifer has trapped. And there are many that chose to reject God, the atheists, the agnostics. But one thing is very true. And I'll tell you firsthand, and it's that saying that they say, no man leaves a foxhole without understanding, without a relationship with God. And there's a true statement to that. And so we are now entering in the crucible of war, the crucible of the fight. And it's our job not to be able to heal the body, but to be able to save the soul. And it is truly our mission, greater than ever, to be able to reach out and to get as many people to understand the glory and beauty of Christ and the love of Christ, and to help bring them home. And as they begin to fall, and they will, and it's just the thing that's going to be the greatest irony of this all, of the whole story, is that they will continue now, and notice how they're ramping up this counter-narrative. All of those that are unvaxxed, you're the problem, you're the transmission people. Well, how long is that really going to stand when you're looking at people falling to this sickness that's because their immune system was changed? It was changed to be controlled by the pharmaceutical companies that are run and controlled by Lucifer himself. How is that going to translate when people are standing there and they're saying, you're the problem? You're going to be able to say, okay, but if I'm the problem, why am I healthy? Let me pray with you. Why am I healthy? Now, let me go to the next level of this. How deep is your faith? I'm going to put this before you, and I'm truly going to put this before all of us tonight. How deep is our faith? And how true to God do we really walk? Are we truly disciples of Christ, or are we just prophets or people who prophesize and claim Christ in our life? Because if we truly walk with Christ, then we should be reaching to each one of these, not just to heal their spirit, but to be calling on the blood of Jesus to heal their body as well. And we should be doing that with an empathetic heart and a loving heart, and to do so, to raise up God's children, because through the process of redemption and salvation, they will be humbled. And there we understand the crux of God's victory. A true believer that steps into the place and says, yes, you did me wrong. Yes, you turned your back on God, but you can still come home. Join me in prayer, join me in worship, and I need you to humble yourself and accept Christ in your life. Patriots, I think we are at a profound moment right now. And I think it's a profound moment that we have to choose which path we want to take. And I think the path that we take is not simply saying, I have Christ in my heart. I think it's greater and much deeper than that. I think it's believing of what outcome we want. I think if we're going to believe the lies of the left and embrace the fact that they're inculcated with hate, and if we start to celebrate and coo about the loss that they're going to suffer. And don't get me wrong, there's good material here. I do laugh at the irony that God puts before us. But separating irony from truth is critical, because as we stand here and we look at what's about to hit us, this tsunami that's about ready to crash upon our shores, this is when we truly define our relationship with Christ. Do we reach to heal and have compassion to guide back to God, or do we choose to be arrogant and walk in our own glory and proclaim that we had victory because they die and suffer? It's the path of humility that wins this fight. It's the path of agape love that wins this fight. And we must make that lead effort. The true remnant is going to stand in the light of Christ. The true remnant is going to stand in the light of Christ. The true remnant is going to take that path forward and walk with Christ and humble ourselves and not choose the path of vengeance or the glory and celebration of the other's suffering. It isn't something we seek. We have to continue to love deeply. That's agape. We have tried to convince people, and sometimes, no matter how hard we try, they aren't going to listen. Amos 8:11 again, right? Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. When do people hear the most? When they have the most to lose. They can only keep that rhetoric up so long. And then when the whole world comes crashing down and everything that they're facing, they're on the brink of this. It's then that we reach and can be heard the best. And it's not us. We have to turn to God and let God work through us and let his words and his prayers and the healing power of Christ work through us. Are we going to get people up to raise up and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm healed? I have no idea. But one thing I am going to say is do not restrict or limit what God can do. If you're a skeptic of instant healing, I would encourage you to step back from that position and let God do his work. I don't do the orchestration and showmanship of stage work where people suddenly like jump out of their wheelchair and walk. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but there's way too much con artistry that goes into some of that. But I also know that some of that truly does happen. And it's not us. It's the other person that has built that, that has suddenly realized that connection with God. And it's through us that God works to bring it to them. And they, through God, have given that gift. So don't limit what God can do. Just be open to how God will work. We truly have a profound place in history right now. And no, you're probably not going to get written up in the books of prophets. But as a moment in time, as a historical biblical moment in time, we truly stand on the precipice of something great. I am not afraid of what I see coming. I know a lot of people are having anxiety. I get angry over it because I can't stand tyrants. I have no tolerance for tyrants. And if there's anything that comes flaming out of me, it would be like the wrath of Archangel Michael, like really, literally willing to take up a sword and take all of these people out. But I do have compassion for many, especially as they fall. It's a humbling place. And it is a place that we have to balance our desire to get them to hear at any cost with our compassion for walking in that warrior place of Christ. I think that what we are witnessing is the end of a time, but I also think that where how this goes will be, depend a lot on what we put our focus and faith in. When we take the consideration of where two or three are gathered, which is an important component, think about the power of prayer. But now think about the power of negative prayer. If two or three are gathered and are all focused on destruction and the negativity, if you believe that isn't possible or that doesn't fit within God's plan, you're right, it doesn't fit within God's intent, the gift that he gave us, but it sure fits within Lucifer's model. And right now, all Lucifer needs is a seed to use a few for the benefit of his many and to work against us to separate us from God. So the purity of our heart as we walk right now is more important than ever. We have to focus purely on the mission that God intends for us, which is the mission of the few to lead the many. And it has to be the heart of Christ. And as we do that, we will see amazing things happen. So to wrap this around, the final point here, which I'm going to be coming back to probably almost every night going forward, so buckle up. It's Bard's Fest. And it was really well said earlier tonight in the interview with Pastor John Benzinger of what that means. And it's the coming together in fellowship to realize how many of us there are and how much strength we have with one another in bringing God into this world. We are not few, we are actually many. But even right now, I think what we're seeing is the separation between those that are pure of heart and those that are waffling still. It's the Gideon model. God doesn't need 20,000 or 30,000, he needs 300 of pure, and whatever that number actually is irrelevant. But we need the pure of heart, and we need the strength of that core group to raise the many, to defeat the army of evil. And in so doing, we need to free those that are out here trapped in that narrative, at least as many as we can, because not all will be saved. But the world we are facing is going to be defined by a large degree about what we put into our prayer and faith. I see our prayer and faith very much like a loaded gun. It's that important to appreciate that. If you take a loaded gun and you start spinning the chamber and pulling the trigger against your head like Russian roulette, at one point or another, you're going to lose. But if you respect what that loaded gun is, it will always be what it is. And it will be used intentionally for what its intended purpose is. Faith and our prayers, to me, are very much like that. They are literally weapon systems. Use them wisely. So, let us be strong in Christ, unwavering in our commitment of healing this world and extending that foundation of love as far as we can. And when we have those moments, which I will guarantee you there is not a person listening to this podcast that doesn't have a moment when you want to go over and throat punch somebody on the other side going, you are so stupid for taking the shot. Let's all take a breath. Let's all put ourselves in prayer. And let's ask God for guidance and strength. I will guarantee you, God is understanding of this because we are human. But let's put our guidance in Him, and through the power of Christ, let us move forward and complete this mission to our very last breath of occupying this land and healing this world and spreading God's kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come together to reflect very deeply on the place and station that we hold in this world and the huge responsibility put before us in walking a path of Christ to be that warrior, and we can stand up to any evil, to be able to walk in that calm place without judgment and clearly putting before people a choice to choose you or a choice to fall into the pit of hell. Let us be the light that many will see to crack open their hearts, to be able to follow the pathway back to you, Lord, and through Christ be redeemed, be saved, and be made whole again, for it is through Christ to the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this place that we are. Thank you for this path that we are in. Thank you for the responsibility and opportunity which is given to us to truly be the agents of healing and transformation. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, patriots, let us continue this walk, boldly standing in the gap and bringing victory back to this world. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are our foundation of all the great work we do. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see. We'll be right back. God found. Reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. On the cold days, dark.